Okay, Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, starting from verse 1.
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see.
Here the Habakkuk, the word of God says, saw the burden. Now how many people can see somebody suffering or somebody has the burden? The seeing means understanding. And the Habakkuk means embrace or who embraces. Or you'll be seeing his life. Now Habakkuk is the prophet concerned about the children of Israel. And he's worried about their spiritual life. And he's thinking, oh God, what is going to happen to these people? What is his concern? Because they are not listening to the word of God. They are going astray and they don't listen. And he is thinking in Israel, there is no judgment. There is no rules. There is no regulation. People are doing whatever they want to do. And he is concerned. This is the vision God gave it to him. You will be learning what he's saying. He says, Lord, you have given me this vision, given me the burden for the people. And these people are doing something wrong. And I do not know how to handle them. So he is actually crying to God for help. There are different prophets. You can see Isaiah when God says, who will go? Isaiah says, I will go. And God says, you know what? You're going to go, but people are not going to listen to you. They will be like a deaf and blind people. And Isaiah had a problem. He could not convince the people. Same thing like a Jeremiah. Jeremiah started crying and weeping and weeping and could not convince the people. He said, Lord, if my head was full of water, and I would cry and cry. But he said he lost even the tears to cry. And so he could not convince the people. We learn about in Book of Amos. He said, your people do not understand and they are living in luxury and all these things, but they are committing sin, and he got frustrated. And so the Habakkuk, he wants to listen to God, whatever God says, and he wants to have a dialogue with God. If you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, please read.
Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
Now God says, come and talk to me. If there is any problem with you, do not go to the empty tanks or the people who cannot help you. Come to me. When the people have problem, they go to somebody who cannot help them. God says, you have problem? Talk to me. Sometimes you are angry at God. Sometimes you are frustrated. God says, come, talk to me. And you remember so many people in the Old Testament talked to God. Abraham talked to God, tried to change his mind about destroying the Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses talked to God and said, Lord, these people worship this idol. Please don't destroy them. God said, I'm going to destroy them and make a nation from you. He said, no, Lord, don't do it. And he became like a mediator and he talked to God. When Job did not have any problem, was a good man doing minding his business, and he got into problem and he started arguing to God. But all of these places you see, when the people argue, people cried, people in trouble, God was there always to listen to them. The different people got different answers, but you're going to see in Habakkuk how he handles the problem. Let's read the verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2.
O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save?
Now here he's saying, Lord, I am crying. I am calling upon you with the tears. Not one time, a long, long time. But you are not saving this nation. This nation is going to go to hell. They are living in sin. And if you read about Lamentation chapter 3 verse 8, the Jeremiah saying, I'm crying and you are not even listening and blocking my prayer even. Please read.
Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer.
So he said, I'm crying and you do not pay attention to my prayer, just like shutting me off. And so the people got frustrated. Here we see Habakkuk is trying to talk to God. I am crying, I am weeping, and I see the violence, I see the destruction, and there is no remedy. This is what he's saying. Now, sometimes you pray and ask God to give you solution. And when God gives you solution, sometimes you don't like it. For example, I'll give example. Just think you're praying. Lord, I want to be a minister. And you call me, I will go anywhere you send me. God says, okay, sir, go to Africa, or go to China, or go to Pakistan. He said, no, Lord, that's not the way I want it. Send me to Hawaii. Send me to Florida. Send me to good places. Why are you sending me to places where I don't want to go? That's what is happening here. He's asking God to do something. And he said, you're not listening. Let's read the verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 3.
Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention.
Now he says, why are you showing me this? What God is showing? God is showing him a vision. Because he cannot go to every state and every place. It's a difficult thing to travel. But he is seeing in a vision. I'll tell you how God shows. One day I was praying. When I was praying, and one of the person who got saved and healed and delivered, and he was doing a great things for the Lord, and he got married. And now when he's got married, and he was in another state from his hometown. And I was praying, and God showed me in prayer what this man was doing. I'm not telling whole the vision. But I saw in a vision that he's drifting away from the Lord and he's enrolled in something. So as soon as I saw this, I took it very seriously. I said to one of my co-workers, let's go to that town. That was almost like a 15 miles or 20 miles. We went there to see this brother, what's happening to him. Because he was a very good brother. But the devil was trying to attack him. And so I went there and saw this man in a room with another lady. And so I asked, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm going to marry this girl. I said, you are already married. The point I'm making, when I was praying, God showed me what's happening in another town. So this Habakkuk is praying for the nation. And God is showing him in different places what's happening. And so he's saying, Lord, you're showing me this vision. I'm seeing what's happening all around my country. Violence is happening. People are suffering. People are having problems. Why are you showing me these things and you don't do anything? Please, let's read the verse 4.
Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth.
Now here is saying, I see there is a law he has given by Moses, but not a single person is obeying your law. They are breaking their law. They're doing wicked things. And all wicked people are surrounding the righteous and destroying them. What's happening in our country? And that is the burden this Habakkuk is seeing. Let's go and read Amos chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 12.
Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right.
Now he is saying, I know what these people are doing. There is no righteous, and all these people are committing sin, and judgment is not there, and poor people suffer because of rich people's sin. And that's the same thing he is trying to say. There is no judgment, there is no rule, there is no regulation. People are wild, they're doing everything. And king is there, king cannot do anything. And so you are overall the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why don't you do something? This is his question to God. Now here we see in the verse 5, God comes to answer his prayer. See what happens. Please read. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5.
Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you.
Now here God is saying, I'm going to listen to your prayer, and you'll be surprised. I'm going to do a great things, and you will be seeing this, and when this is thing happening, you will not even believe what I'm going to do. Habakkuk might be thinking, wow, God is going to do some marvelous thing, some miracle. Something is going to happen. But he didn't know what God has in his mind. He's thinking, I'm telling the God to judge these people. And God's saying, I'm going to do something you would not believe. So once God says something and you start thinking, what God is going to do? Let's see what happens. Verse 6.
For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs.
Now he says, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to raise the Chaldeans, means Babylonian people, and they are destroying nations, and they are capturing people and making people slave. And those are the nations I'm going to raise. And that nation is going to come to your nations. And he says, going to the one end, to the another end of your land, and they're going to take over your land, possess your people from one land to another land, and they are going to do some damage to your country. All of a sudden, I think Habakkuk might be got a heart attack. But God might be thinking, this is what you want. You want a judgment, right? So I am going to judge these people. Now, sometimes some people might be thinking, why God has to do this thing? God can correct these people different way. You remember David made a mistake. One time, David knew the law. The law was this, you should not be counting your people. If you count your people, you have to give certain amount of sacrifice, certain amount of money donate to God. Otherwise, those people will be killed or they will be punished. And David knew the law. And he wanted to count the people. And his advisor said, David, why are you doing this? God has blessed you with millions of soldiers and people and land and everything. Why do you want to count those armies and things like that? But he ignored them. He would have said, okay, let's pay the price. Because if he wanted to pay the price for every person he's going to count, he will be spending millions and billions of dollars. So he ignored those people, ignored their advice, and start counting the people. As soon as they came back and counted the people, then he felt bad. He felt bad that he did not listen to God and disobeyed. You remember sometimes you want to do something and you know it's not a good thing, and when you do it already, then you feel so bad. That's what happened to David. Then God says, okay, David, I put three things in front of you. Choose one. You run, an enemy will follow you for 3 months. Or you should have a famine in your land for 3 years. Or you should have what you call plague for 3 days. Choose one. Now what will you choose? If you say, now we are counted of this many armies we have, we can handle, send the enemy and we'll take care of them. He said, no, you will be running and enemy will chasing you. And so the David found out, this is no good. I cannot choose anything. Says, Lord, I'm going to fall in your hand. And then the plague started. And the plague started and many people start dying. And then the angel appears. So the word of God, it's a long story, but the word of God says, then David says, okay, here the angel is going to stop and here we are going to sacrifice something. And then the land was belonged to somebody. And the man says, okay, David, you are the king. Take this land and do sacrifice here. Do whatever you want. He said, no, I cannot take anything free and offer to God. Now he understood. He would have done it before. Now he said, I don't want to do any free. I want to do something to sacrifice to God. So I will pay for the land. And he bought the land. The point I'm making here, Habakkuk is praying that these people should be punished. These people should be corrected from the Lord, but he did not know what kind of rod God is going to use. He could have sent the plague, or he could do anything. But this time he chosen to another country, another enemy to come to destroy his people. Let's read the verse 7. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 7.
They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat.
He is describing this enemy. This fierce enemy, they are not afraid of anybody. They are very strong enemy. Their horses also very strong, and their horses are so speedy, they are speedier than the leopards. And so those horses are fierce, trained horses. Do you know the Bible says the horses are not afraid of anybody? They are not afraid of even the fire. You tell the horse to jump over the fire, he will do it. These horses are fearless, and the riders are them, they are fearless, and they are cruel people, and they are coming. And he's giving a mixed messages here. Some of these Chaldeans or these Babylonian people were coming to capture them, coming from the horses, but the same people in the tribulation, they will coming like a flying planes. So he's saying coming like an eagle, that's a future thing. Those animals are very fast. They're fast like a jumping high like an eagle. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 9.
They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand.
Now, they are not coming quietly. They are coming very fast. They have one agenda, to capture the people, destroy the people, and they are not satisfied with the one or two people captured. They will capture the people like a sea of the sand, prisoners of war. Kind of people. It's not a one or two, sand of the sea. That means these people are not satisfied with a one person capture or two people capture. They are going to capture many people and destroy them. Verse 10.
And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it.
He's saying this army coming, they are not afraid of anybody. They are not afraid of kings. They are not afraid of princes. And they are not afraid of who is small and who is big. They are going to capture everybody. They are going to destroy everybody. And they are coming. You read it in the book of Amos, if you remember. The houses were built very strong. And the palaces. And the king had the summer house and a winter house. And they were living in a luxury. They thought nobody has power to destroy us. God says, okay, I'm going to send them. And when they come, they are going to dig the dirt and pile the dirt on up to your wall. And so they can easily climb the walls and take you captive. So whatever you thinking you are protected, when God is not protecting you, you have no defense. People can say, oh, I have lots of money now and I have no problem. Famine comes or earthquake comes or this comes and that comes. Money comes, money goes. Like they fly. You cannot trust in your money. You cannot trust in your job. You cannot trust in your wealth. You cannot trust in your power and ability. Trust in God. The word of God says, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, but trust in the living God. Trust in the Lord. That's what I learned. I learned that each and every situation, I cling to Jesus Christ and He comes to rescue. He comes and He supplies our need. Habakkuk, you were praying. You had a burden for this country. And you were weeping and crying and you said, nobody answers me. This is your answer. Now Habakkuk has to scratch his head. Say, Lord, why did I pray like this? Now he is confused. Let's read the verse.
We didn't read
okay, 11. 11.
Then shall his mind change and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God.
Now he's talking about this enemy. He's saying these people will come, they will capture you like a sea of sand, they will destroy these countries, they will climb your walls, they do everything. But when they do this, they're thinking, we did it with our own power. Actually, God says, I gave them chance to defeat you people, to correct you and teach you a lesson. But now these Chaldeans, Babylonian people are thinking, we did it with our own power. And now instead of giving glory to God, that God allow us to take his own people to teach them a lesson, they're thinking, you know what? Our God, our heathen God, did it for us. And so they start giving glory to their God, and then what happens? Their punishment comes. And so God is going to punish them. Whoever do not respect God and do not say God is the one who doing it and we are doing it our own, those people suffer. Habakkuk didn't understand everything. Habakkuk didn't pay attention to the 11th verse. He paid attention what God is doing destruction to Israeli people. And he didn't like it. He was a little bit angry and frustrated. But the 11th verse, if you would have heard it, then God says, I'm going to deliver the people. I'm going to bring them back because that man going to pop up and that man is going to worship his God and I'm going to teach him a lesson also. Let's read the verse 12. This is Habakkuk saying now.
Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction.
We are not going to die. That means let the people come and maybe capture us, but keep us alive. We don't want to die. We are not going to die. God told him, this will happen in your timing. You're going to see it. And so he wanted to say, I'm not going to die. And you will be seeing in this chapter, whatever you believe, that's what's going to happen to you. Now Habakkuk says, I'm not going to die, we are not going to die. If you believe that way, even the earthquake comes, hurricane comes, disaster comes in Oklahoma, how many places disaster come? And I was watching and I'm praying. And I noticed one thing, if you notice or not. I noticed one thing, disaster came, all people gather together. They are helping each other. And they are having a faith-based FEMA. Now when the problem comes, FEMA doesn't go. And they have red tapes. And they will say, this is not going to do. And this is not happening. And they will delay giving help. But these faith-based FEMA people, they are helping. And not only that, the CBN and Samaritan Purse, and then there is another person from Ohio, Rod Parsley. All these Christian people, truckload of things are going and helping before the government goes there. The second thing I noticed, There is no looting going on. Nobody's stealing anything. Nobody's taking anybody's stuff. They are helping. We saw New Orleans. When the problem comes, people are, instead of helping each other, they start stealing. They start taking some of the things. They start killing people. And we have to send the police to watch them. See the difference? When you are godly people, they help each other. Don't steal somebody when somebody's in down. Don't kick them. Help them. And that's what I saw, and I was praising. I said, thank God. These people are godly people. And God is showing us, if something happened in the godly area, how they react, how they swiftly help each other. When same thing happened in another area, and you are, instead of helping somebody, you're going and stealing their houses. Even the New York and New Jersey we saw, we have to send the police to protect the citizens' houses. It should not happen. When you are believers, when you are godly people, you should be helping one another. And that's what we're seeing in Oklahoma. And I believe one of these days you will be seeing. Oklahoma will be one of the strong built cities. They are building one hospital where the last time they had a problem. They built the hospital. They said, now we build this hospital like a 250 miles per hour hurricane or any wind comes, this hospital will stay. They are saying too much, but with the God doesn't say anything. But at least I'm saying they are building their building stronger than before with the help of God. The point I'm making, you cannot make the same mistake. We see sometimes the hurricane comes or a disaster comes on their house and goes in the way, and the same houses they build again. And they don't learn. The government help or the insurance help, and they keep on building the same houses. Why can you learn from your mistake? If your house was built with the sand, next time build on the rock. That's what it is. So here we're seeing the disaster coming, and now he's saying, oh Lord, I know you are a good God. You are my God, and you are my Savior. He's talking something good to God, and he's saying, I know you're correcting these people. I know you're going to do something chastening to these people, but we are not going to die. We are going to live. So let's read the verse 13.
Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?
Now here he is giving a lesson to God. He's thinking God is doing something wrong. He's saying, don't you think, God, what you are a God, you have a pure eyes, you don't look at an evil thing, people doing some iniquity and things like that. You are a good God. You don't see all of these things. And you are a perfect God. Why do you allow this enemy, evil people, coming to destroy your people? He's thinking, your people are righteous. Are you kidding? Few minutes ago, you said these people don't listen. Few minutes ago, you said these people do not have judgment. These people living in sin, and they don't pay attention, and you should be correcting them. Right away, he's thinking, these people are more righteous than them. How do you measure righteousness? Now, some people are thinking, you know, this man drinks 2 bottles a day. He's a bad man. How much you drink? Oh, I drink only 8 ounces. I'm better than him. This man smokes 10 packets a day. He's a bad man. How much you smoke? I smoke only 1 packet a day. This man has 5 wives. He's a bad man. How many are you? I have only 2. So all this person is thinking, comparing to other people, and he's better than others. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. These Chaldeans and Babylonians are bad people. But Israeli people are good. How do you make them good? They were doing all bad things. You cannot compare with the people. You compare yourself with God. Our God is a holy God. You cannot say, I'm better than somebody else. You say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to follow you. I'm not looking at somebody, what the other people are doing. and I'm going to look at you. And some people are thinking, the wicked people doing so wicked things. Why God is allowing them to do wicked things and not punishing them? The psalmist says, I was passing by and I saw the wicked person flourishing like a green tree. Very, very powerful and very flourished. And say, when I came back, I could not find the root. Everything is gone. Who was that? A rich man. How many people you saw getting this lottery ticket? $6 million. Lots of money. Go and check their life. Within a 2 or 3 years, they might be homeless or somebody killed them. Other day, one person, before he got the lottery, somebody gave him poison and he's dead. And so point I'm making, the quick money comes, a quick money goes. But if you work hard, that money is blessed. It's greater than the riches of the world. Because why? There is a blessing on your money. You give the tithes and offerings, God says, I will fight your devourer. I will protect your money. I will protect your health. I will be your security guard. So God is going to protect us. Here Habakkuk lost his mind. He's thinking God is doing something wrong. Why do you do these things? Why are you telling the bad people to harass us? We are a good people. We are the righteous people. How you became righteous within 1 second? Without repentance. That's what the people thinking. Oh, I was born in a Christian family. My daddy was a pastor. My mother was a church mother. And she's an evangelist. What you doing? I do marijuana. I do all of these things. My father's blessing and my mother's blessing is still with me. Doesn't work that way. You are not born righteous. You are born a sinner. You have to repent of your sin. You cannot get your mom and dad blessing automatically. God has promised you, if your mother and father's blessing will come, but are you qualified to get that blessing? It's not going to come automatically. You have to personally receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, verse 14.
And maketh men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them.
Now he says, you made the people like a fish. So he said, you made the people like a fish. That means you made a mistake. You made the people like fish. They have no rulers and they just going here and there. What? God says, many are called, but few are chosen. Why don't you be a leader? There are so many people in the world, they are walking zombie. They don't know where they're going. And they don't know what they're doing and why they're here. You ask somebody, what's going to happen when you die? I don't know. I might be wandering or I might go to heaven. Why? Because, you know, God is not going to send us to hell. God is a good God. You can live the way you want and God has to give you heaven. That's the way the people think. God is not a bad God. God is a good God. So God is not going to send me to hell. Let me do anything. Our God is a righteous God. He's a righteous judge. You can fool many people many times, but you cannot fool God even one time. Our God knows everything. And he's saying, you made these people like a fish. Jesus says, okay, this fish has no leader. You go and catch them and you lead them. And Jesus said to Peter later on, he says, Peter, I called you to catch the people, fishers of men. And you're doing that, but what happened? After the resurrection, you went back to the old job and old fish, and did you catch anything? No. Did you catch anything before? No. Then I gave you plenty of fish, and you left the net, you left the business, and you followed me. What happened now? Oh, Lord, I saw the resurrection, and then you left, and I could not see you, and you never came back to me, and I was worried that what I'm going to do, and You were with us and you supplied our needs and everything we had, and now you're going away and I don't know how to live. So I only know the business catching fish. So I'm going to go back again. And that's what the people doing. What Bible says? When you vomit something, don't take it back. When you spit it out, don't take it back. You gave up the job and follow the Lord. When the crisis comes, don't go looking for a job. I have seen many, many pastors. They start a ministry and doesn't work. And what they do? Oh, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I didn't have to give up my job. Paul was making tent, make an excuse. And so I'm going to get a job. And one pastor I met, 3 jobs. I said, sir, when you get the time to prepare the message, how do you preach the word of God if you have 3 jobs? And a Sunday time, some emergency comes, you have to leave the church if you are some kind of important person. How are you going to do the church? Bible says you cannot serve 2 masters. Serve 1 master. You cannot serve the money and God. It's very difficult. So, point I'm making, why people have 3 jobs and do the pastor's job? And so the point I'm making, we cannot live a life like a sinner and compare with somebody. I'm a pastor. I'm a good man. Why you need 3 jobs? Oh, God cannot provide. I said, Lord is my shepherd, and what? I shall not want. If you make the Lord is your shepherd, you will not have any lacking. But your God is not shepherd. You are thinking about other things. That's why you suffer. And so he is thinking, Israeli people are righteous automatically. And Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you bringing the enemies to destroy righteous people? They were not righteous. Okay, verse 14. Go back to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 14.
And maketh men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous.
Now, he's saying, what these people are doing, they are thinking the people are fishes. They're coming and dragging them, and they are getting all the fish, means everybody, like a sea of the sand, all the people collecting. And they are not satisfied. And they are doing like this when they gather all these people, like a fish in the net. What they thinking? They are not giving glory to God. They're giving glory to their net. They are not thinking who gave the money. They are not thinking who gave the wealth. They are worshiping their net, their paycheck. One person says, my wife was talking to him about God, and said, who God? What I do, I throw the money in the air and say, Lord, catch it. Whatever comes down is mine. So what do? All the money is coming down. It's mine. I gave it to God. He doesn't take it. I said, okay, let me tell you, let me prophesy about that man today. He had a big house with a swimming pool, and thinking he's the biggest man, he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost everything. So the point I'm making is, you cannot fool God. This God gave you money, it's not yours. God gave you brain to make it. If you have brain damage and you are in a hospital, you lost your job, how are you going to make money? Oh, I make money because I'm smart. I went to college. I did degree. I this and that. And you can say, you know, that's why I'm earning this money. Not because of you are smart, because of God's grace. When God gives you, thankful. If you got $100, put a $10 first to the Lord and then think about other things. But somebody says, oh, but I have $110 debt. Let me pay my debt and then I'll give 50% to the Lord. Never happens. You will always have more debts and you will never be able to pay. But if you have a debt $100,000 and you got only $100 and you start giving $10, you will be surprised your debt will be paid. How? God does miracles. Other day I was watching one program, and a man who had a business, the painting business and something like that, and he lost everything. He did not give tithes, and their wife gone away, and he became homeless. And then something clicked. I should be giving tithe to the Lord. And he started giving the tithe. Today he has 15 or 13 workers under him. And he said now he's making hundreds and thousands of dollars, and he cannot keep up with the job. And so much, and he said, now I start giving more and more and more to the Lord. The point I'm making, the money you have will fly away. You can be beggar one day, but if you hit the bottom, cry to God, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to give it to you. You will be prosperous. I have seen many, 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 many times people how they get prosperous with the God's giving. So here we're reading, these people, even God gave this nation, Chaldean nations or Babylonians, gave grace to go and take my people and get the loot and everything. I'm going to correct them. But they start thinking, this is all with my power. This is all with my might. And I'm going to worship my stuff. And that's what they were doing. And so God is saying, they are worshiping their food. They are worshiping their nets and things like that. And so God is angry. Verse 17.
Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations?
Now he's asking God, Lord, what these people are doing? They are catching people like a fish and emptying net and then go and catch again and again. And how they continuously keep on doing this, and they are killing the nations. But somebody made the chapters, and they cut this chapter here. Could you read the chapter 2 and first verse?
I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved.
This is the way chapter should be ended. This is still Habakkuk talking. Now Habakkuk is complaining to God, and he said, Lord, this is what's happening. And now he's telling for himself or whoever listening, he said, I'm going to stand on the tower. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. And I want to see what God is replying to me. I complain everything to God, and I poured my heart, and I try to tell my God that he is doing something wrong and he is destroying my people. I want to see what he's replying me. That's what his question was, and that's what the chapter should be stopped. But somebody made this chapter division. He finished it with the chapter, verse 17. But anyhow, next week we'll come. We read that verse and we'll start. So what God is doing now, God, when he complained to God, then the chapter 2, God answers the Habakkuk what his problems are. So the point I'm making, sometimes we ask something from God, God gives to you, and then you are not satisfied. This is what happened to Habakkuk. Habakkuk asked God, Lord, these people are doing something wrong. I want you to correct them. And when God says, okay, I'm going to correct them. No. This is not the way to correct, Lord. You're making mistake. You cannot find mistake in God. Oh, God never makes mistake. Other day I told you one pastor was praying for his sister, and his sister died. He prayed and prayed, maybe fasted and everything. She died. Now he said, I'm not going to worship you. You didn't listen to my prayer. I'm not going to worship you. And he just backslid. But God came to rescue him when he was crying and weeping in the burial ground. God came and gave him a hug. And God talked to him. What I'm trying to say, your loved ones will die. Your children might die. Your brother, sister, wife, anybody can die. You cannot blame God. You have to find out what that sister was doing. Her life was right with God. Why God did not hear my prayer? I prayed and prayed and nothing happened. You have to know God is much wiser than us. You cannot blame God at any time. If you start blaming God, if you start fighting God, what God says, why are you kicking against the prick? If you kick against the prick, you're going to get hurt. You say, God, come here, I'm going to show you something. You can talk to God. God said, come and reason with me. You want to talk. But don't try to teach me something. Learn something. But the point I'm making, our God is never wrong. Our God never makes mistakes. You cannot sit and tell God what to do or how to run the world. God is God. We have to learn that I have to listen to God. I never call and God said, Lord, I prayed and you didn't hear my prayer. I never said to God like that. Because God always answers prayer. God always answers prayer. Then people say, why God did not answer my prayer? Go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Listen. He says, my hand is not short. My ears are not deaf. Why I'm not listening? Your sin has come between me and you. That's why I'm not listening. So when you pray for somebody, just don't go and lay hand and pray because somebody told you. Talk to that person. Change their life. Change their lifestyle. Then God will do some miracles. People want quick answer, quick things. If God doesn't do it, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to listen to God. I give tithe. How long? I gave 1 year continuously and nothing happened. Okay? If you sow the mango seed, next day mango is not coming. But if you sow the grass seed, it will come within 3 days. The point I'm making, God says, you want prosperity? You sowed it? Wait and see. Once the mango or oranges start coming or apples start coming, that tree will be there for years and years and you will keep on getting harvest over harvest over harvest. So, but you cannot say, I gave it 1 year and nothing happened. I went to church 3 years and nothing happens. I gave up on God and I do my way. And then God will come to rescue. It is too late. You remember that prodigal son left home? People are saying, oh, father was watching for him. Watching for what? Watching the son to repent and come. He was a rich man. He could send some people and go and find out where my son is. He could find him out. He knew that there is a famine. He could have gone and find his son. No. He said, Lord, my son should come with a repentance. And son comes and says, what? And he prayed to God, God, I sin against you and sin against my father. I'm not worthy to be his son. I'll be servant. That was a change of heart. That God was looking. That was the father was looking. That called real father. You say, oh, this father was never cared. His son went and he might be dying and this. I would not go. I will pray that God will change you. If you don't want to change, go to hell. But my job is not pampering sinners. But the people do not understand. This is the tough love. Your prayer is answered. I'm going to punish these people with a very horrible people. Come and destroy them. And Habakkuk said, oh Lord, you're making mistakes. Why are you doing this? But his answer comes in the next chapter. Shall we rise? Our God is a good God. We don't take advantage of God and tell God how to run our life. We have to say, Lord, we want to live for you and for your glory. Please forgive all our sins and wash us with your precious blood. Forgive us, O Lord Jesus, and teach us your way so we can follow your steps. Bless your people and give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.